Blog Talk Radio.
Only Dynasty, Nigeria.
There's a world outside every darkened door where the brave are free and love and soul. Come ride with me to the distant shore.
Life is a highway. I wanna ride it all night long.
Ever since there were cars, Americans have had a love affair with the open road. And with quality gasoline and great snacks coast to coast, Valero is your perfect travel companion. Valero, the all-American gasoline for the all-American love affair.
Radio 20 Dynasty and Goji Time brought to you by those fine boys at Looking Glass Entertainment. We're broadcasting live from Lagos, Nigeria, by the way, Louisiana, to a little Tea Time intern show. I'm your intern host, Jared the Gibson. KWC. Join the conversation at 516-453-9133 and press 1 from the Tea Time with me to get the ones, my love. Before I start the show tonight, I want to congratulate our brother's CEO, Brother O, on his two-time international internet radio enshrinee for the producer of the year 2021. Congratulations, brother. I'm so very proud of you. And I'm here doing my intern show tonight on Only Need Dynasty after your great honor this past weekend. I want to congratulate our sister, Only Need Syndicated Intern. I said great on her first ONE Battle of the Stars Network. I also want to
say, all right, hope we didn't lose you there. Okay, go ahead, continue.
I also want to congratulate our sister, ONE Syndicated Intern, Aset Atun Ray, on her first ONE Battle of the Stars Network Championship, winning for the intern. I had a great time listening to her this past weekend, and I wanted to congratulate her again on my show tonight and tell her, hey, Aset, you did a fantastic job Sunday, and Queen Sister, thank you so much for putting it down for the intern. Y'all join the conversation at 516-453-9133 and press 1 for tea time with the gifted one, my love, brought to you by those fine brothers at Looking Glass Entertainment. So, hi's everyone tonight. Happy Pride Month to all the fellow LGBTQA listeners around the world. I love you guys and gals so much, and I dedicate this show to all the beautiful souls fighting to find a space to call home in this world. No matter who you are, black, white, African, or Latino, we all want someone to love, accept, and appreciate us for who we are. I send you guys hugs, love, and kisses, my love. This week is Juneteenth, this weekend, so let's also remember to celebrate freedom, jubilee, liberation, and emancipation for all of our ancestors. This weekend is also Father's Day, and I want to take out the time to wish a Father's Day to all the fathers listening tonight on ONE. I want to wish a happy Father's Day to my father, James Carter Jr., who passed away Father's Day weekend in 2010. I love you, Dad. I also want to say happy Father's Day to my grandfather, Oscar John Hill, who passed away this past March. I love you, Papa. And I also want to say happy Father's Day to all the women who are playing fathers to the fatherless children. Thank you so much, Queen and Sisters. Y'all join the conversation at 516-453-9133 and press 1 for some tea time with me, the gifted one, my love, brought to you by those fine brothers at Looking Glass Entertainment. So tonight I have my guest co-host on with us tonight. His name is Dimpris Gas-Q. Dimpris, are you there with us?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you this evening, my love?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well, my love. I wanted to thank you for being here with us tonight on A Little Tea Time, the intern show with me tonight. And before we get into the topic tonight, I want you to tell my listeners all about you.
So my name is Dimpris Gas-Q. I am a resident of Fayetteville, North Carolina. I am the co-author of There's No Health Without Mental Health Anthology, Men and Mental Health, as well as Words Speak, Hurt No More Anthology. A lot of what I've done professionally in my career beyond my bachelor's degree in communication has been in the field of mental health and really wanting to understand how our childhood trauma affects our journey and the trajectory of our lives as we age and as we progress throughout the years. And just really wanting to have conversation about healing for brown and black communities.
That's a fantastic introduction, my love. Okay, Dimpris, if you care to share, could you tell us here at ONE at A Little Tea Time, the intern show, about your coming out story?
So regarding my coming out story, as I stated, one of the books that I co-authored was There's No Health Without Mental Health Anthology. And when I received the opportunity to co-author the book, I wanted to make sure that I was being honest, right? And so with that, I really had to consider what affected my mental health the most growing up. As I said, I am from, well, I grew up in North Carolina, but originally from South Carolina. And so with that being said, I grew up in a family of ministers and church and all of these biblical teachings. And so I could not understand how I was supposed to love myself when I'm being taught that those who have an attraction to the same sex were going to hell. How do you raise a child or a young adult to get to purpose if all that's beaten into them is that their end goal is death and such this ultimate horrid reality? For me, that was a lot of why I had to tell my story. And so me coming out was unconventional in the sense of I didn't just sit down and have a conversation because I felt like it. I felt like it was time for me to have this honest conversation about how these things affected our mental health and why we have to stop and eliminate the stigma that exists, not only in mental health, but the intersection of mental health and sexuality and Christian upbringing. And so that for me was how I came out, was writing about my story and then sitting down and having conversation with family to educate them as well. And it was not easy, but it was necessary.
Okay, darling. I love that you had a unconventional story to tell about your coming out, because most of us in this community, the LGBTQA plus community, we all go through having to tell our story of coming out in a very different way. As everyone knows, when I told my story, it was just not the story that I was prepared to share. But when I told it, I found my truth, and I found myself being able to stand in the light of I'm going to be okay, because now I don't have to keep myself in a dark closet. So you guys, join the conversation now. 516-453-9133, and press 1 for some tea time with me. So give this one my love. This show is being brought to you by those fine brothers at Looking Glass Entertainment. And tonight, my topic is, again, coming out, get out, stay out, part 3, the role we play in the church. In a recent episode of Pose on FX, character Pray Tell, played by Billy Porter, goes back to his hometown and confronts his past and settles his issues with the church. Young Pray Tell grew up in the church, singing in the choir, until he was caught kissing another boy in the church and was kicked out. 25 years later, he returns back to his hometown, where now that actual guy that he kissed is actual now the pastor in the church that he was kicked out of. That pastor is now married to Pray Tell's childhood friend, who is a woman, and she knows that her husband is gay. And they are struggling to keep their marriage together while they are presenting this image to the community while they suffer in silence. And I wanted to talk about this particular topic because I wanted to discuss and tackle the LGBTQ role in the church and how it affects their mental health and their spiritual health as individuals in the church. Dimpris, can you just give me a little bit of background on this particular topic, because I know we spoke prior to starting the show about wanting to discuss this topic. And the way that I was prepared to approach this show was I was going to be very in your face about it, and me and you having a conversation, it kind of helped me to dial back and say, take the approach to this show where you can be sensitive to the people who are listening and not be preaching. So I wanted to have you on tonight because I felt like you could help me bridge the gap with this particular conversation. So can you just give me just a little bit of your thoughts on that topic right now?
Regarding the church and the LGBT community?
Yes.
Absolutely. The first thing that I'll say that I had to learn, learning the distinction between teaching, theology, and an actual relationship with God, right? because no matter what my preference is, whether I came out or not, there's still an assignment and a calling on my life if I claim to be Christian or if I'm of Christian faith. And so regardless of others' opinions, what God expects from me is for me to fulfill that assignment. And so the issue that I had growing up was me feeling like I was not worthy of what I'm being asked to do and what I was created to do. So then came the depression and a lot of toxic behavior that is common within our community due to the detrimental conversation and stigma that is oftentimes had. I had to really unlearn a lot of those teachings, to be honest, because God is a God of love. And what I think we forget and we fail to realize is there's going to be a day where we have to give an account for our lives. And I don't get to go before my Heavenly Father and say that I did something because of how someone treated me or because of how I personally felt about someone's lifestyle or their choices or whatever the case may be. I don't get to give those excuses to not give and extend love, grace, and mercy. And so I just had to really realize we're all on a journey of seeking alignment and clarification. And as you were saying, you know, when I was younger, it was easy to get angry and frustrated because I couldn't understand. Me walking outside or me carrying myself a certain way and I'm not hurting anybody was so offensive. My very existence offended other people. I couldn't understand how these same people were supposed to be the ones that I was supposed to run to when I needed something in the spiritual realm, right? It contradicted itself. It didn't make sense to me. And so I grew frustrated. But the issue with that over time, not only do you have a lot of individuals in the community leaving the church, but you have a lot of generations leaving the church. And the reason being is because although you're told to come as you are, we don't accept as is. Because these individuals and these sanctions don't have a heaven or a hell to put me in.
True.
We will all have to give an account.
You know what, Dempris? Thank you. Thank you for saying what you just said, because I had to spend a lot of time researching my own soul and my own life when it came down to me having to choose between am I going to serve man or am I going to serve God. And I made a decision in my life that I do not serve man, that I serve God. And it became a thing of when I finally realized that the church was doing more harm to people than it was actually helping the people, I made a decision to walk away from the church. So religion is not something that I'm a big part of. I'm more of a spiritual person versus being a religious person. And I do not take for granted the decision that I made to abandon the religious walk, because I know that my spiritual walk has become a thing where my relationship has been sustained, where I just give that those few moments to the Creator himself every day and say, I'm present with you. I want to thank you just for waking me up this morning, for starting me on my way, just for you just giving me this breath of light, this breath of life, and just letting me see the light of day. We have a track coming up from our International Internet Radio Hall of Fame producer, the Honeybee Olitski. You can go ahead and pump that beat.
But God gave me a gift to put people at ease. What I do is what I do. If I was to sit down and try to tell you, break it down, technically, I couldn't, because I don't know, and that's the God-honest truth. What I do is what I do. I hear a beat. I feel it. I write it, I say it. Check it.
and a bag of blue. Although I may be high profile, I keep a low profile. Stay calmly, but my arm is kind of wild. Mostly on the down low, now and then I hear the disco. Sports soup, drink milk, never Cisco. I read the funnies, watch Bugs Bunny cartoons. And at the crib, I dig Bob Marley yard tunes. I take a spin in my Lexus coupe. Sports sexy soup, sipping sick, I sip chicken soup. I rip faces like a maniac, lyrics like a brainiac, and shows get torn no matter where we at. A little bit more than better, I warm it up like a sweater, a money generator, fly honey dip getter. Like I said before, thump in my trunk, that's all I really need, and a bag of blue funk. Can you dig? I got the flavor. If you don't believe me, just check with your neighbor. I get enough respect from the roughest roughneck. Kinda wicked and unruly when it comes to a mic check. Drive a deep, catch beats on and on. Never say much when I wreck, cause I'm a quiet storm. Most of the time I'm fooling in my crib, watching cable. And I got crazy honeys far from dummies in my stable. I'm well known in the hoods like a gangster. And when the time is right, I'd like to have a little hester. I bust raps that'll excite the dead. And beats that make you stagger like the neighborhood wine head. I'm on my like a heater or a funky, funky drummer beater. Brown sugar is sweeter, beats by Peter. Like I said before, thump in my trunk. That's all I really need, and a bag of blue funk. How I get up. When I walk the streets alone, I'm far from home, I keep my head up. Don't swing with many strangers, cause to me that's just a setup. If you're pushing up too close, I might be ghosting, you get wet up. Not in the showing off, because I'm not the show on sight. I'd rather take my time writing rhymes and blowing up mics. Chill, just max, make loose, pay tax. All the ladies blow kisses, all the gents tip hats. I like to swing with barrels, cause to me it's a ton of laughs. But after the gig is fast, we also take bubble baths. I was raised well, but now I raise hell. I worked hard to make a living, so now I'm living swell. I never have a problem in the streets, I'm too smooth for that. I never talk or walk with a gun, but run my crew with straps. Like I said before, thump in my trunk. That's all I really need, and a bag of blue funk.
That wonderful track, Brother O, by Heavy D and the Boys tonight. I'm definitely feeling the soundtrack tonight, so you are definitely putting it down. And we are broadcasting live from Lagos, Nigeria, by way of Shreveport, Louisiana. And you guys join the conversation, 516-453-9133. And press 1 for some tea time with me, the gifted one, my love, brought to you by those fine guys at Looking Glass Entertainment. We're going to continue the conversation on the LGBTQ role in the church. Going on with this particular conversation, we posed on the show Pray Tell was able to confront the actual pastor that he kissed in the show, and he was able to make peace with a lot of the issues that he faced within the church, how they turned him away and they kicked him out at such a young age, where he had to take it upon himself to leave his hometown, because he left his hometown and moved away to a new place just to start the life that he wanted, because he wasn't able to have the life that he wanted in his hometown. And we see that a lot in small towns and places like where I'm from here in Shreveport, Louisiana, where it is taboo, but it is becoming a little bit more open and more free to see people in my community, in the LGBTQ community, especially black men and black women in the LGBT community, to step out and not have any fear of being castrated or condemned in public. Yes, we are not out holding hands and kissing in public, but we are out trying to have normalized just going to the grocery store or going to Walmart or going out to see a movie. And I did not realize that until watching that episode of Pose, to see Pray Tell going back to his hometown to confront the church, that our mental health and our spiritual health can be damaged permanently by the church when the church plays its role of turning people away. Because as my co-host Demperis said, when they tell you to come as you are, that little gay boy, little gay girl might come to church dressed a way that y'all may not be expecting. That gay boy might just come to church in full drag, hair, nails, makeup, dress, high heels. And that little girl might come to church in her polo shirt, her khaki pants, and her Timberlands. And when they walk in, immediately people begin to gasp, and they point, and they begin to make comments of, what are they doing here, or what's going on, whose son is that, or whose daughter is that? And when they figure out whose son or daughter it is, they immediately go in on the parents. So it becomes a thing of that not only does the child get beat down by the church, but also the parents get beat down by the church. And you can see how it burns into certain people within in the church community when you see someone who comes in. It may not be the younger church members who might look and start the pointing. It's some of the older members. It's Sister Clara, who's been a part of the church for the last 50 years, and she's now on the deaconess board. Or it could be Brother Barry, who's been on the deacon board for the last 35, 40 years, and they have these prestige amongst the church community where they can make their comments and they can make their snares and they can pass their judgment. And then there are people within the congregation who will follow their lead, because these are members and leaders who they respect and that they love. I'm not going to really speak to pastors on this particular subject, because there are pastors who have definitely played the role of condemning members of their church. I said this in another show that I heard back maybe a little while ago. There are pastors who sit in the pulpit and they condemn their members. And those same members that they are condemning are the same members who are a part of their music ministry. They help bring souls to the church. They help bring people to the church who are looking for a place to call home. And in the same breath, they are tore down the same way as their community are. And they take it with grace, and they take it with a smile, and they carry it within themselves and never really address it, unless they address it behind the scenes, which we never would see. But with this particular conversation, I wanted to shine a light on it, because we don't necessarily hear when a pastor condemns someone in the church from the LGBTQA plus community. We don't never see anyone in the church stand up or stick up for someone who has been torn down by the church community because of their lifestyle. So, Demperis, I wanted to ask you a question. Have you been in a situation where you've seen someone being torn down by the church community? who is of the LGBTQA community?
Have I witnessed it firsthand? No, it has not been my personal experience. Am I aware of the oppression that exists as well as the level of judgment? Absolutely. It is something that I talk about and have conversation about a lot with my peers, colleagues, different individuals that I know personally and professionally. It definitely is an issue that needs to be addressed. It's time that it's addressed. But I will say this, two things. Number one is I was listening to someone's Instagram Live, and they were saying, if you have to beg for a seat at the table, why would you want to be there? One thing I had to learn, not just in terms of sexuality, but just our journeys in general, not every church is for you. If I am in a space where I am uncomfortable, I will leave. I don't have to be disrespectful, but I will also not be disrespected, right? And so if I feel that that what I need is not going to be fed to me because of judgment in this individual, whether it be the pastor, the bishop, or whatever the case may be, as you said, then why would I stay there? Because for me, that church will be a desolate place. Maybe not for someone else, but for me specifically, that church would be a desolate place. So I cannot stay. It would defeat the purpose of me going. However, right. I think we do have to be careful in the judgment, because one thing I had to really think about, and I'm learning as I am getting older, you know, I have my own business, right? I have multiple things that I do. I writer, author, blogger, photographer, life insurance agent, all this stuff. And I'm always asked to volunteer, to speak, to do these things. And I had to get into the habit of saying no. No when it was exploitation of I cannot come here and be comfortable, but you can use and exploit my spiritual or my creative gift. One thing that I don't like is there is acceptance of our community in the church. The issue is the placement of that acceptance. What I mean by that is we're allowed to be choir directors. We're allowed to plan and coordinate the events. We're allowed to be the musicians. But we can't be the respected individuals, the quote-unquote respected individuals outside of that. You will use my talent, right? But I will not. I still won't be welcome here. That's what bothers me, because who are you to condemn someone and then still expect them to extend grace to you and to build a population and to send souls when you wouldn't know how to cultivate them, how to pray over them, how to actually speak into these lives because of what and who they look like. But one thing that I've also learned as I grew was that a lot of times the things that we hate the most, again, whether it's sexuality or something else, is typically what either ends up in our household or typically who God will send to teach us a lesson.
Amen.
So a lot of times that's why churches are desolate now and cannot grow, because we're asking and we're praying for help, right? We're praying over the church fund. We're praying for a new musician. We're praying for a piano. We're praying for everything. But see, you reject who God sends. And so that's why it's empty. That's why it's desolate, because you don't get to choose who God sends. You may not agree with what they look like, but the reality is we've all been in a season where somebody didn't agree with who and what we looked like and represented.
I like that.
We have to get this place. Thank you. We have to get out of this place of judgment and crucifying other people, because the reality is there's only one person who died for me. And if you're not that person by name, you don't get to determine my placement. If I come to your church, no, I will not sit in the back row. I decide to actually join and to be active. No, I'm not here to orchestrate your choir. I have gifts outside of that one thing, right? We all do. It's disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we really have to open not only our minds and our hearts, because we always say it's about acceptance. No, it's not. It's deeper than that.
No.
It's not about accepting me in the sense of you like or you agree with, but the reality is you don't have the dominion or the authority to place me in hell because of how you personally feel. You may have the audacity, but you don't have the authority. God
doesn't like
that. My pastor doesn't, they might call me, but you don't wake me up in the morning. And so we have to get out of this entitlement, because that's pride. And stop lying and saying that it's God, when the reality is it's pride, it's self-serving.
Mm-hmm.
Because I still have a purpose that somebody else needs. My journey has not been just about, and again, let me be clear, I'm speaking for myself. But my journey has not just been about me coming out. I wasn't born at the moment that I came out. I had a story to tell outside of that. I've been in boardrooms and courtrooms. I've been at state conferences and in handcuffs. The journey was one of growth. So for people to pick and choose, it just doesn't logically make sense. Because I still have something to teach. There's still a reason that I was created, although there are millions of other people in this lifetime. And during this time of COVID, we've lost a lot of people. But for those of us that are still here, that you asking God to take, honey, we still breathing. I woke up just fine this morning. Why? Because I still have a purpose to serve, whether the person in the church down the street or across the street or across the parking lot likes it or not. Again, it's not your choice. You don't have a place or this lane to put me in. And if we'd open our hearts and close our mouths, we'd get a lot more done.
That's it. Well, we have another track from our International Internet Radio Hall of Fame producer, the Honeybee Oleski. Go ahead and pump that beat for us, Honeybee.
Girl crew, standing by the gutter with your booty cutter. So who's the
And we're back after that track from Heavy D and the Boys. And we have the first caller in the queue. Caller, what's your name and tell us where you're from?
Good evening. This is your co-host, Lena Blue, and I'm calling from Collegeville, Pennsylvania.
Good evening, Lena Blue. How are you tonight, Queen Sister?
I'm wonderful, wonderful. I just want to send greetings, grand greetings to you and your esteemed guest tonight. And you know, you certainly touched on a subject that's also close to my heart. I'm a mother of a child, my oldest, that is a part of the community. And when he came out, it really changed and really upset the card, if you will, because we were Christian background, I'm Southern, and it was just like, wasn't ready for it. But I'm so thankful to the Creator that he gave me this experience and my child, because it challenged me to grow and to learn and to love without the boundaries of you have to do this or I can't love you. So that conversation had to change, and I'm so thankful that I had that experience. And I also wanted to ask your guest a question, if I could.
Yes, sure. Go ahead.
Okay. So do you think that the church and the LGBTQ plus community will ever reconcile to the point where the community is welcome? And if so, how?
Thank you, first off, for calling in. To answer your question, it's not up to us. It's funny that we think that we have a choice. What I'll say is this. I was talking to my colleague earlier. We're supposed to be a body of Christ, right?
Yes.
But how can a body operate with so many ligaments that are missing? If we are all not in alignment, and a lot of that being because of the amount of judgment and chastising that goes on, how strong are we really? Because we don't get to choose our spiritual gifts. We don't get to choose what our callings are. It's an assignment that's given to us at birth. And so when you have so many members missing, how can you truly be fulfilling? And as you said, and thank you for sharing, that's what it takes sometimes, is there's so much we don't address until it's in our household. And sometimes God has to humble us enough to where we have to go through what it is that we did not like, if we're being honest. And so to answer your question, do I think it will be perfect? No. But I think in honor of God and the actual teaching and what we were supposed to learn, yes. Why? Because the work of Jesus, most of what he did was missionary work. If we're being honest, he went to a lot of people that we would say were unworthy, that we within our human flesh would not have helped. Prostitutes and the homeless and blind people that every day we ignore when they're out there asking for change. So it's important for us to remember that and stop using all these biblical teachings and all the scripture and then rewriting it to fit how we personally feel. We have to take our egos out of the assignment. And until we do that, that relationship won't exist, but it can exist if we would just truly learn to love and extend grace and mercy and kindness and all the things that he taught.
I completely agree with you, because that is what he taught. He did not come to teach one particular segment of person, of people. He came to teach us all. So I think that the problem is that first of all, we're missing that message. If you're going to church every Sunday, you're missing that message if you don't, or you're not able to receive people that are different than you. And it applies to so many sectors, and it's very heartbreaking. But I completely, I'll continue to advocate and support as much as I can. And I thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you,
Lena. Thank you, Lena, Queen Sister. And when can we hear your next show? Hello, Lena, are you there?
We're going to continue this show right here on Oney Dynasty.
All right. So we're going to continue the conversation. You guys join the conversation, 516-453-9133, and press 1 for some tea time with me, the Gifted One, brought to you by those fine brothers at Looking Glass Entertainment. I wanted to piggyback off of what you just said, Demphrys, about the church and the LGBTQ. Can we see a change with how we all interact with one another? I think that this would be a conversation that would have to start within the church community first, because this is a conversation that I think the LGBTQ community already has been having for years. I just don't think that it was something that spread over into the church, because within the church community, because of the mindset that has been pushed upon us for years within the church, they are not able to shake off their own teachings and their indoctrinations to open their minds up to, okay, you're turning away beautiful people who are looking for a place where they can worship and they can call home, and they can have a place within that community, within the church community. That conversation would be a conversation that possibly you may lose some of the best members of the church even just to have that conversation, because there are some people who are religious. I don't even want to say religious. They're so caught up in the tradition of what religion is that they have forgotten that times have changed dramatically. And this conversation would definitely be one for the books for any church. And I would actually love to see that conversation take place within the church, to see a pastor bring in people from the community of the LGBTQ black background and to have this conversation. I would love to see what that conversation would look like. I would love to see how they would respond to the thoughts and the mindset of the church members, as well as the LGBTQ members who would come in for that particular conversation. So I definitely feel like this is a conversation that should be had within the church. But at the same time, I also know that it would take a lot of time to try and not force something upon the church, but to try and help them comprehend that we love God just as much as they do. And we have the same intent and the same mission to come in and want to be spiritually fed and spiritually led. So I definitely wanted to piggyback off of what you were just saying, Demphrys, because that was some very insightful thought that you just shared with us. And you guys, if you're listening, join the conversation, 516-453-9133, and press 1 for some tea time with me, the Gifted One, my intern show tonight, brought to you by those fine brothers in Looking Glass Entertainment. I wanted to ask you a question, Demphrys. Do you feel that us as a community of people, do you feel that us as a community of people, the LGBTQ community and the African-American community, do you think that we would find a place where we could really sit down and have this conversation, where we really could put all of the issues of those particular thoughts and feelings on the floor? But before you answer that question, we have another track coming up by our International Internet Hall of Fame DJ, Brother Olitski, the Honeybee. Drop that beat, Honeybee.
This one definitely goes out on a censorship tip. Everybody sit back, relax, and have a champagne sip. We're going to teach these people out there who are against saying what we want to say the right way. You know what I'm saying? So what we're going to do is kick back, swing a little funky beat by my man DJ T-Rock, producer
make sure that they still beat rock. Make it clear. I can flex, bend, lend a pen to a friend. Keep a party pimping from now till then. I don't have to swear, curse, or juggle. Lyrics in the verse to make a party bubble. So Mr. Censorship, tell me what's your problem. The jelly's on the corner, his wifey can't solve them. How did she say it? I'm curious, G. Does she say, honey, love me, or baby, baby, fund me? Anyway, we'll say what we want to say. Play how we want to play, feel good that way. So G rap, it's time to kick up first. Do your man a favor, and don't curse.
Telling me don't curse, I reversed and did it worse. First, I put a curse on every verse. I kinda got outrageous. Check it, even made a record how I'm doing on my B-I-T-T-H's. Ducks, it wasn't for the buck. Every word that you heard, of course, I didn't give up. Aw, shucks. And yo, I almost forgot. The curse is a block, but it's getting kinda hot. So I'ma let profanity retire. Hey, but if worse come to worse, I'll cut you out like Richard Pryor. So grand poop will kick off first. But do your man a favor and don't curse.
I won't curse. I'll take a famous curse word and just say coof. Coof flipped around the other way means huh. Boy, when I do it, see, I can't get stuck. Jump on a mic, then I earn a quick buck. Buck leaning loose, then I grab some boots and set with my troops. For those who can't follow and got stuck, coof flipped the other way means is this a curse? I freaked the nation a haste, but I made sure I had my hat first. It's time to kick a verse. God's died for the vine, we can't curse.
The verse I say nope. Grab it by your hand, wash your mouth out with soap. Thinking to be the last one with the bad lingo. Scooping over skins in the church playing bingo. Pounds of the Macadam fresh from the tailor. Because they made a movie when he cussed like a sailor. Better yet, dialect dirty like a subway. Pick a funky loop here to make it go the other way. In a vocabulary scrimmage. But cursing in my village ain't good for my image. So big daddy, you know it's time to kick a verse. But do your man a favor. Don't curse.
The answer, front of those questions not divine, so there's no need to censor. Kiss wanna peep it, but you wanna beep it, what? I feel like slapping a sickle on your
chill, chill, say what?
Two magical rhymes are too tragical for any source to stop. Came from getting capital. If I thought sticking me was dissing me, man, don't you know that this would be worse than Stephen King's misery. So clean off of vanity, stealing it all to man to be. Rocking any microphone you hand to me. So heavy D, I'm about to disperse to kick another verse. And don't forget not to curse. Hey, yo, Big Daddy, check this out. I'm about to do some old slides, slick, smooth, on the trick, step stuff. I'ma bring my little cousin, the producer of this joint. His name is DJ Pete Rock, definitely part of one of the family. You know what I'm saying, G? And he about to flex on this ass mic and get busy like a big cousin. You know what I'm saying? Check it. Pete Rock, can't get verse, but don't curse.
God bless, but I can't mess around with the curses, so I'ma kick verses or a verse. Soul brother number one here to kick back. Smoke the microphone and produce crazy tracks. Yo, I'm a bad bro, let's start the flow. I'ma kick rhymes till it's time for me to go. I can't curse cause Heavy D said so. Now I'ma get back to the subject, get wrecked. If you think I'm bluffing, just check with the crew. P-Rock and CL Smooth, very down to earth. And we didn't have to curse.
Yeah, yeah, the abstract poet. She's sick from a dark old place here to wreck. You know what I'm saying? Got my man Pete Rock and my man D in the house. And we're definitely chilling on a lifted chip. So bust the shit out. Flim, flam, flim, lick my big black stuff. Must I kick a curse to be rough enough? You can put the sticker where the sun don't shine. So back off and let me get mine. Visions in my head, one is dealing with hits. If I have four girls, then I'll lick face it. Wait, don't wanna hear no drama. Cause the bum diddly hef is a fave of my mama's. So I'll blew out and get mad lifted. Don't have to stay up to show that I'm gifted. God bless me cause I reached my 21st FD. Don't drop a curse.
I'm talking about a verse without a curse is how I reach ya. I can rock a party without a swear or a harsh verb. Bad words, no curse words, Heavy D prefers those swing. Swing to the sober clean rhythm. Before I say goodbye, let me tell you how I hit 'em. CLP, Rock G, Rap Maxwell, Big Daddy Q, Tip and me as well.
down as AP, thank me for the beat. This funky beat was made for the street. Notice how clean that we kept every verse, but if worse came to worst, we all said it got.
And we are back after that great track from Heavy D and the Boys by, well, thank you, Brother O. I was posing a question to my guest co-host, Dempris. Do we think that the church and the LGBTQ community could come together and have a conversation about the issues that they would have with us coming into the church as members of their church, being our true selves and not having to face condemnation or being judged by the church? But before you answer that question, we have a caller two in the queue. Caller two, what's your name and where you're from?
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. It's Genesis Amaris Temp. I just wanted to chime in on your question, Jarrett. And if I heard you correctly, your question to your co-host was, do you think that the LGBTQ community and the church could come together and really have a transparent conversation about LGBTQ people coming inside the church without facing condemnation? Was that right?
Yes, that's correct. And good evening, Queen Sister. How are you? Thank you for calling in.
I am doing well. I would hope that the church would come together, because whenever we talk about sins, like from a religious as well as a spiritual standpoint, no sin is better than another sin. We have all sinned and fall short. So I don't understand what the difference is between someone who is LGBTQ and loves God unapologetically versus someone who is, you know, an adulterer, or someone who is cursing, or someone who has murdered someone, or, you know, the list can go on and on. And it's like, if I remember correctly, there is a scripture in the Bible that says you have to take the speck out of your eye before you try to take the plank out of your brother or sister's eye. And I feel like me being a sinner, because I don't always, you know, do things right, like I'm trying to become closer to God, but if God was to put my life on the screen and put someone who is LGBTQ on the screen, would I have a blemish-free, you know, story? And if I don't, then who's to say that I'm the one who should be throwing the first stone and condemning someone in that community? I have friends who are LGBTQ, and I love them. And, you know, they're awesome at praise and worship. They love God or whatnot, but they just choose to be with the same sex. And, you know, they're a person just like I'm a person. And you know what? If someone were to say, Genesis, what about you? And I was like, okay, I tell people, you know what? I test drive the car before I bought it, meaning my husband and I lived together before we got married. And, you know, we did have premarital sex. That is a sin. And I was like, am I proud of it? No, but what sin is better than another? You know, that's what I mean to say. So to answer your question in short form, my prayer is that we could come together and have a open, transparent conversation and feel the love and remember why Jesus died on the cross for our sins, help one another, and just really be the hands and feet of Jesus and love one another, because at the end of the day, a sin is a sin, and no sin is greater than another. Does that help answer your question? I hope I...
That answers my question for me, but I also wanted to get my co-host's thoughts on that question as well. Hey, Dempris, you want to comment on what our caller just said there?
Absolutely. First, I'll say this. I still, even being within this community, I still attend church. The only reason why I hadn't been as often is because of COVID. I'm just not sitting, you know. However, the thought to even ask permission in this season of my life no longer crosses my mind, because I'm not asking permission to sit where my father ordained that this is supposed to be his house. I'm his child. So I'm not asking for consent to physically be here. And also, you had mentioned something else that I wanted to respond to before the break. One thing I think we have to be careful of, because you were asking about the conversation and how that conversation will be had. Even the thought that I have to have a conversation to make someone else comfortable enough to accept me does not sit right with me, because it sounds to me like that individual is playing God, whether it's one individual or a church as a whole. You don't sit on a throne to tell me where I can and cannot be. And another thing that I'll say that I had to learn is, even Jesus was crucified, literally, and even before his death. However, he knew that he was going to be crucified. My point is, just because our purpose makes us uncomfortable doesn't mean that it's something we're not supposed to do. It doesn't change the assignment just because we don't want to go through it. And so conversations like this, whether it be on a radio show platform or whatever the case may be, they're necessary even when they make us uncomfortable. It's not always easy having these conversations. As I said, I come from a Christian family. I come from a family of ministry. However, my concern right now is not so much of my family, right, the grown. My concern are the kids in the trans community who are being murdered for existing, the children that are kicked out of their homes at such young ages because of how their parents feel about their quote-unquote choice in sexuality. Because first off, I didn't ask for this. I didn't wake up one day and just decide, oh, the sky's blue, I think I'm going to date guys. That's guys now. That's not how that happened, right?
Right.
It wasn't something that I just went and asked for. I didn't go to a car dealership and say, hey, I must have gave one. That wasn't the case. The reality was I didn't choose this. And we have to be careful even in the verbiage, because that is the assumption, that we woke up one day and we just decided that we wanted to be disobedient, spared the rod, spared the child, and all this other scripture, and just decided to forego our biblical teaching and our upbringing and throw our morals out the window and just do this horrid thing. But my concern is this. People were more concerned with the music video that Lil Nas X released than they were of the cases of R. Kelly, T.I., and Bill Cosby. This is too big of an issue. We're not going to pretend that we get to cast stones, as the caller said. Because in bigger context, that's what bothered me. People have so much to say about him and him coming out and, you know, the context of that video and his creative direction and his choices and all these things. But people still watching the Cosby Show. People are still listening to R. Kelly. And I could go on and on and on about so many people. But my point is, as the caller said so eloquently and so beautifully, you don't get to cast a stone to someone else just because of how you feel. You don't get to play God over someone else's life because you don't agree. You don't have to agree. Turn your head. Because the reality is, my journey is probably not for you anyways. Because if you're not going to like me, you're not going to like me. You're not going to accept me. I'm not here to beg. God didn't create me to be a beggar. That's not my journey.
I know that's right. And I don't want to cut you off with your thought, but darling, we got to move on to the next caller. Thank you, Genesis, for calling in tonight, Queen Sister. And can you tell us about your next show?
So my next show is on July 5th. It's called Gems with Genesis Amaris Kemp, and I'm currently an intern on ONE Dynasty, so make sure y'all tune in and get plugged in. I also have a podcast called Gems with Genesis Amaris Kemp, and I just salute what you all are doing and having this courageous conversation that needs to be had. And I just want to also say the church is not just a building, but it's beyond the four walls of the church. We have to take it outside and remind ourselves that we have to have the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, kindness, and all of that good stuff. And thank you for having us tonight.
Thank you. Thank you, Genesis Queen Sister, for calling in tonight. We have caller 3 in the queue. Caller 3, can you tell us your name and where you're from?
Hi, this is Asset Atumre, calling from NYC and the land of Nubia. I'm just listening to your show, Jarek, and I must say this is a very touchy subject. This isn't really about the LGB community, but pertaining to the church, I had my own personal situation, and that's one of the reasons why I don't deal with the church anymore. There was a time where I had needed some help, and I went to a black church asking for help. And they looked at me, and basically the pastor was like, there's nothing I can do for you. Now, even though I'm not religious and not a part of any organization, I've always been a firm believer of laws of compensation, meaning I am someone that constantly gives, and I never expect anything back, so that's my free will. But it's sad how all of these pastors in the church can make all of this money and don't even put back towards the community. And I've noticed a lot, and I'm not speaking for everybody, but just what I've noticed, a lot of these pastors get in the church and they will use their congregation. They'll use the choir. Like you said, they'll use the gay people. They'll use the women to be the secretaries. They'll use the other deacons and stuff to be a part of everything. But when it's all said and done, when you really need them, and when it's time for everyone to come together, you don't see the pastor. He's gone. He's gotten whatever he needs out of the ordeal, and then everybody else is left on the back burner. So that's one reason why I just don't deal with those kind of people. But I appreciate this topic, and thank you for shouting out to me, and congratulations to you, Jarek. Congratulations to Genesis. Shout out to her. Congratulations to Angela and Jerry and all of the ONE hosts, and thank you for this wonderful topic tonight.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Asset, for calling in tonight, for your love and support, and for your thoughts on this topic. Can you let the listeners know about your next intern show?
Yes, you can join me on next Tuesday, June 22nd at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. My next topic will be the emasculation of the black man in America. Go dial in at 516-453-9133, brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment.
All right, and now after those thoughts, we have another track by Hall of Fame disc jockey DJ Oleski, the Honeybee. Pump the beat for us, Honeybee.
It was fun. Now every day of your life you want to be with. when you got time to spend, you spend time with Heavy D. I noticed that you hold me gentle as a rose. I'm rough and tough, baby, but then I suppose that I had to be held in order to start holding. I think I got your hit, so let's start rolling. The overweight lovers in the house. 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 And I can teach you Heavy D's game plan. See the way that I am, here's a big lover man. Check out the rhyming and do time to be a Heavy D fan. I'm a swift, you know, and overweight Romeo. Come get a piece of the beat because it's good to go. MC Heavy D, oh ladies, I'm hooking. Big extra long, but still good looking. For you run out of swing on a romance free. All you gotta do is lean on me because the overweight lovers in the house. Lovers in the house. Lovers in the house. Entertainer of many. Now when I do a party, now I mean I do plenty. Girls inside the crowd see the go berserk. They start yelling and screaming. Every day go to work. And when I'm through rocking and chilling at the disco, they grab me up and beat me up. They just won't let go. That's when I know that there's been too much charming. I put it in a line and say, please don't squeeze the charmin. The overweight lovers in the house. 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 The overweight lovers in the house.
All right, after that track, before we bring in caller number four in the queue, I wanted to piggyback on what Dempress was just saying. I watched how Lil Nas X was tore down because of his performance and because of his song. And it was one of those things where I was like, wait, that's a double standard being set here where he's been tore down for him and his music, where when we look at R. Kelly and when we look at Bill Cosby and when we look at T.I., who are all right now under the microscope for this whole thing with sex trafficking with these ladies and with Bill Cosby's past court trial with him and the rape cases that he went through. It lets me know that there's a standard that has been set even among black men and black gay men, that black gay men, we would get tore down just as crucially as just a regular black man for our acts. And a regular black man would definitely be tore down just as well, but it would become a bandana. What are we going to do? What are we going to do to not tear down each other, period, black men or black gay men? So we have caller number four in the queue. Caller number four, tell us who is your name and where you're calling from, and thank you for calling in tonight.
Jerick, the gifted one, this is Tara Strength. How you doing this evening, brother?
I'm doing good, Tara.
Good evening. How are you, King Brother?
I'm doing great. This is an outstanding show. I'm enjoying listening to you and your esteemed guests. I just want to make a couple of comments about this, about the whole church thing and you guys being accepted. And I think the best way for me to say it is that I would encourage you guys to study more of the history of the church, of your history in general, because basically, you are going someplace to get something that you already have. One of the reasons why we have a lot of these problems with these churches and organized religion is because we erroneously believe that God dwells there. We believe that's the only way and the only place to connect with God. And there is nothing that is more untrue than that. You are connected to Source or God at all times. You are loved at all times. You don't have to go to church to have a connection to God. And if you study your history and go back in time, you will see that the farther you go back. King James himself, all right, one of the guys who wrote the Bible or influenced the Bible, himself was bisexual or LGBTQ in history. If you go back and study history, you will see all of this stuff. And so for a lot of us, we deal with the sexism and the patriarchal slant that's in the Bible and all of this stuff. We must go back and see the origin of that. We need to even go back and see the origin of sin. It was a concept that was created in time in order to make something wrong with you, and then you have to come to us to get the cure for it. The concept of sin was created by Augustine at a point in time, and the purpose is to control large groups of people by thinking something was wrong with them. So reincarnation had to be removed. This is why when you study a lot of the older religions, they have reincarnation embedded in them, and the newer ones do not. And so this is what I mean. On my last show, Truth Seekers, I said you need to question everything. You need to question it. Reincarnation had to be removed out of these religions because with it in there, you don't have a reason to have to go to these churches. If people understand that they've been here before and that they're souls and that they are eternal, then you have no need for these churches. You have no need for it. And telling you all these things that you have to do or you're going to burn forever. You would know that's not the case. You would know that you're the co-creator in your reality. You are made from the essence of the God spark. How dare you go to a place and let them tell you that you are less than when you are made in his image? You are not less than. You believe. You let them tell you that you are less than. Okay? You are loved at all times. You came back here because you are loved. So I would just encourage you brothers to understand that you guys are highly evolved, and when souls incarnate with your path, you are here to teach acceptance. You are here to learn acceptance for yourself because you obviously didn't finish figuring that out in your past lifetime, and you are here to teach others acceptance. So you are highly evolved. But when you don't understand that, then we get caught up in sexism, racism, patriarchal systems, which we're a part of. There are all types of challenges. At one time, not even that long ago in history, there was a heaven for black people and a heaven for white people. Okay, so when you look at a dysfunctional system such as that, and the psychological abuse that it causes many of us, women who are told that they are less than, the LGBT community who is told that it's not wanted and it's less than and it's a sinner, okay, this whole concept of people being sinners is all a product of ignorance. And all you have to do is go back in history and learn about it. So organize, and I've said it many times on my show, organized religion, Western organized religion, is about control. It's about control. It's always a punishment. And that is not what Source is about. There's only love and fear. So when any organization tries to make you feel less than, then you need to question it. Don't worry about trying to change it. Let it be. It's all part of the obstacle course. Let it be. You have no business in there in the first place. You know, we have to question the families that we come out of. We have to question these organizations that we come out of. They all should come under scrutiny. As you begin to evolve and go down that path towards true spirituality, you begin to question everything that's around you. And guess what? Everything that's around you is a marker as to what's going on with you and where you are in your journey. Everything and everyone, your friends, your family, where you work, they are all markers. And that's what you need to be looking at in that journey. So that's all I want to say, good brother. This is a great conversation. You guys need to have a shift in perspective totally on this thing. You know, because
there's
a reason for it, and the reason is for you guys to overcome it. That's all
I
want to say, good brother.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Brother Terrence. And can you tell us about your next show?
I believe my next show is on July 6th, I believe. Don't quote me on that, but I think it's July 6th.
Thank you for
Terrence.
Coming in and for your thoughts and support tonight. Thank you so much, Brother Terrence. And before Ngozi time, I have two things I want to do. I want to get my final thoughts on my guest co-host tonight on the topic tonight. So I'm going to let you just take the mic away real quick and give me your final thoughts.
Thank you. Just to wrap up in closing, I'll say this. I know we had a lot of conversation that's not easy to digest for many populations. I just want to clarify that when we're talking about these issues, or when I'm talking about these issues, we're not referencing everyone, everybody, every church. There are some churches that are still doing God's work, that are still giving, that are still in the harvesting of souls and helping other people and what the original intent was. But I will also say, if conversations like this make you uncomfortable, then you may need to evaluate why. Because if it's upsetting or agitating you, then it may be something that you're doing that you need to reevaluate. If you're taking it personal, then you need to ask yourself, is this something that you're doing? Or why is there such this animosity? Because what I've found is, a lot of times when people are trying to persecute you for something, and there's so much anger and hate behind it, it's not really a reflection of you. It's a reflection of them and how they feel about themselves. And that's why I've learned not to get so offended.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dempress. Hey, before we do Ngozi time, I wanted to share this piece that I wrote. It's called Dear Black Gay Man. Dear Black Gay Man, you're a rare breed, a unicorn, a special gift in a world of lies, spies, and silent cries of guys growing up in the world thinking you're a curse to the nation all because of our sexual relations with ourselves. I know what it feels like to be placed on the back burner and pass over like last year's trash simply because you don't fit the mold of society. They tell us we should be runt, uneducated clumps of clay who bear the seeds unworthy to be called an American. That we should conform to the brothers who sit on the corners bumming for cigarettes and spare change while they struggle to make it through the day, getting high and getting drunk just to pass the day away while helping to take their pain and their blues away. They say we should go to church on Sunday and be brainwashed into thinking that we're destined to damnation, being put down by the saved and sanctified living behind their saved lies of redemption and salvation. Dear black gay man, we're the product of rape, molestation, babysitting our siblings, cousins, and other kin while running our single mother's homes, while they were busy to tend to us, while we dealt with our unsettling thoughts of what's wrong with me, why am I like this, and those uncontrolled emotional roller coasters of tears and fears. We've all been beaten into submission and told to fall in line, to straighten up and to stop behaving like a sissy, while we were the caretakers to the family, being the nurturers, providing love, support, and affection, never getting the attention to our own issues. As we get older, the world becomes colder. Our classmates make fun of us, and we become the ass of the joke. And we develop a thick, tough skin, a fiery wit, and a fierce attitude as we pass through the terrains of homework, dances, and feeling secluded from others, knowing we're different. We take to the misfits, the outcasts, the weird, and the wild, because this felt like a home to a wandering child to find a place to belong and belonging to. You'll never understand how this world is until you're out in it, and once you start to make sound, you'll find yourself looking for passion in music, art, and poetry, becoming a distinguished man among your peers. You'll develop some serious crushes on friends you'd be surprised to find yourself thinking about, to be left in tears and never to share with a soul, knowing that you'll be in shame and banished into darkness. Having your feelings then turned into despair and grief, all because you want to be set free and fly and sing like a proud eagle. Instead, you told yourself nothing is more regal than a fish swimming in a sea of black waters, unable to breathe the fresh air above us. Dear black man, we were being told we're the bottom of the barrel, newspaper placed in a cat's cage for kitty litter, being told we're foul and devalued by our brothers and sisters because of our love language doesn't read from their same pages. The older you get, the more you'll see that you don't fit in, and you'll find yourself moving towards becoming a better you, not understanding how important your small role to the world growing and ever-changing. You'll discover some people you see light shining and have no idea of what it took for you to start winning, taking back all of the power you didn't know you had. You demonstrate and protest that you are first a black man, standing strong, proud, and tall, being educated to make a difference in the lives of the people around you. You demonstrate and protest you're second a gay man in your struggle for acceptance, for love, freedom, truth, and learning to love yourself. Yes, you. So being a black gay man will not just be a label you wear, but a lifestyle that portrays dignity, integrity, worthiness of love, and you share with the world and letting the world give it back to you, dear black gay man. And now, in Gozi time.
Well, first of all, we want to thank our intern tonight, Jerick Thomas, on his wonderful and outstanding transcriptal dictation of what he needs to do to get to the next level. Tomorrow night on these stations, we come back with a person that, you know, has been wonderful for our network. His name is Chef Yosef. Tomorrow night, 9:30 Eastern, daylight time, these are on these stations. And, of course, Devil Nation is advertising to ONE, which is Oladeli and Ghost Enterprise, which is, of course, at www.thelookingglassentertainment.wordpress.com, as well as in Ghosty Prime Time 1 at bevnet.com. We're in Ghosty Time both on Twitter and Instagram. Oladeli and Ghosty at Pembroke's Google+, Oladeli Malaywa and Ghosty at Facebook, as well as our business page. The ONE host intern show, as well as the historic Bevel Nation Online Radio, established 2013. And any comments, suggestions, or one for program tonight, oladelay. That goes over mayandgmail.com. And I am your international internet radio hall of fame producer and shrine, as well as, more importantly, your mother and father's favorite producer. Ola Dele Malewa and Gozi saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis tonight. Jerick, we have 1 minute and 42 seconds left to go in this wonderful program.